Welcome back to the deep dive. Today is going to be, well, it's going to be a bit of a head spinner. We are looking at the Taken morning briefing from February 5th, 2026. And honestly, it feels like we're looking at two different timelines just crashing into each other.
It really does. It is a study in extreme contrast today.
Exactly. On one side, you have this massive dump of hardware, news consoles, brain chips, OS overhauls. That feels like we finally hit that sci-fi stride we were promised.
Mm. It's exciting, it's fast, it's shiny.
And then on the flip side, you get this financial reality check that just feels like a cold bucket of water.
A very, very cold bucket. The engineers are living in Star Trek, but the markets are in a disaster movie.
Right. So here's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to parse through all of this. We're breaking down the new Nintendo Switch 2, the PS5 Pro, this huge Windows architecture shift, and the latest on Neuralink. We need to understand the specs, sure, but also what they actually mean.
And then we have to eat our vegetables and look at the crypto markets, because the mechanics of what's happening there, this liquidity spiral, are critical to understand, even if you don't own a single digital coin.
Totally. And just to be clear up front, we are analyzing the systems in the news. When we talk about the bloodbath in the markets, we're exploring the mechanics of the crash.
We are not giving you financial advice.
Please do not make trades based on this. We're here for the how and the why.
Not the buy or sell.
Okay, let's get into the hardware. There's so much here, starting with a device that feels like it's trying to be everything to everyone. The Nintendo Switch 2. I have to say, I appreciate the briefing starting with a bit of rumor control. Did you see that part about the weight?
I did. Apparently people were panicking that 4K meant it weighed 4 kilograms.
Which would be like carrying a bowling ball around.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, the report clears that up. It's a 4K resolution target, not a workout weight.
Thank goodness. But the screen, the report calls it an engineering masterpiece. It's an 8-inch Samsung OLED. We know OLED, deep blacks, great colors. But it highlights this LTPO technology. Can you break that down?
So LTPO, low temperature polycrystalline oxide.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like jargon.
Yeah.
But here's why it matters to you. It lets the screen dynamically change its refresh rate. The report says it can go anywhere from 10 hertz all the way up to 120 hertz.
Okay, 120 hertz, I did. That's for super smooth motion. But why would I want 10 hertz? Wouldn't that look like a slideshow?
It would if you were in an action game.
Uh-huh.
But think about when you're reading text in an RPG or you're in a static inventory menu.
Ah, okay.
You don't need the screen refreshing 120 times a second for a still image. That just burns power for no reason. So LTPO lets the device drop down to 10 hertz, saving a ton of battery. The second you move, it snaps right back up to 120 hertz.
That is really clever. And it mentions 1,000 nits of brightness. I'm guessing that solves the playing outside problem.
Precisely. The old Switch was a play anywhere device. As long as anywhere wasn't in direct sunlight, 1,000 nits and OLED contrast means you can actually play this thing on a beach.
That's a huge quality of life upgrade. But here's the thing that always gets me with handhelds. We're talking 4K visuals, high refresh rates. How are they not melting the battery in under an hour?
It's all about the chip, the T239. It's a custom NVIDIA Ampere chip. And yes, it's got 12 gigs of RAM, Tensor cores, all that good stuff. But the raw power isn't the real story.
What?
Efficiency through AI, specifically DLSS 4.0.
Okay, so DLSS, it's a term that gets thrown around in marketing all the time.
All this time.
For someone who just wants to, you know, play Mario, what is it actually doing under the hood?
Think of it like this. The chip renders the game at a lower resolution, say 1080p, which is easy on the battery.
Mm-hmm.
Then the DLSS AI looks at that image and intelligently reconstructs it up to 4K.
So the hardware is doing half the work, and the AI is basically guessing the rest of the detail.
It's more than a guess. With 4.0, the reconstruction is so good, it's virtually indistinguishable. The report says Super Mario Odyssey 2 looks like a PS5 game, but the hardware isn't brute-forcing all those pixels.
It's working smarter.
Exactly. And that's how you get to that battery stat.
6 hours.
6 hours of continuous play.
On handheld, that's the magic trick.
That's the aha moment.
Yeah.
And when you dock it, the dock itself isn't passive anymore. It has an active cooling fan.
So it blows air into the Switch.
Yeah, which lets the chip overclock by about 30%. That's how it holds a native 4K signal on your TV without overheating.
It really feels like they're trying to make this the one console. $499 is steep for Nintendo, but if it replaces your home console...
That's the gamble they're making. You don't need two versions of a game anymore. You just have the game.
All right, so if Nintendo's all about efficiency, Sony is playing a totally different game, the PS5 Pro and GTA VI bundle. And that price tag, $799.
It is aggressive. But look at how the report frames it. This isn't for the casual gamer. It's a strategic chess move for the hardcore enthusiast who will not compromise.
So what does that $800 get you? Besides the fancy shell with the map of Leonida on it, what's the big technical jump?
It's all about PSSR.
PSSR. So another upscaling acronym. How's this different from DLSS?
Conceptually, it's similar. PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution.
Yeah.
But Sony's implementation is all about pushing density and, more importantly, lighting. The report explicitly says this tech lets GTA VI run at 4K 60 frames per second.
Okay.
With full ray tracing enabled.
Let's pause on ray tracing. What does full ray tracing actually look like in a game like GTA? Why should I care?
It's about realistic light. So when you drive past a neon sign in Vice City, the reflection on your car isn't some generic shine. It's a physically accurate, warped reflection of the street. If a car explodes down the block, all the shadows from the building shift in real time.
And that usually destroys the frame rate.
It crushes it. You normally have to choose. Pretty lighting at a choppy 30 FPS or smooth motion at 60 FPS. PSSR is how they're letting you have both. The report notes the standard PS5 will probably be stuck at 30 FPS for this stuff.
And there's a secret optimization agreement with Rockstar.
Yes. That's the business angle. Sony basically paid to make their console the definitive place to play. Until the PC release in 2027, the PS5 Pro is the only way to see the game as it was truly intended.
That's a killer move. The report says it leaves Xbox in the corner of the ring.
It's a power play. GTA TI is going to be the biggest entertainment launch of the decade. Having the best version is a massive, massive advantage.
Okay, so we've got Nintendo perfecting portable, Sony perfecting the high-end box. But this next story, this feels like it's rewriting the rules. Windows 12 Core.
This is the sleeper story in the whole briefing. It sounds boring, but it's a huge paradigm shift.
It says it's a rewrite on ARM V10 architecture. For anyone not deep in the weeds, why is moving from x86, the old Intel standard, to ARM such a big deal?
Think of x86 like a big, powerful diesel engine. It gets the job done, but it runs hot and eats a lot of fuel. ARM is like a modern electric motor. It's quiet, cool, and incredibly efficient. It's why your phone uses it.
So laptops can finally stop sounding like jet engines.
Exactly. But here's the sci-fi part. The report says your local laptop hardware, it only handles the user interface.
What? So the clicks and typing.
Right. The snappy, low latency stuff.
Yeah.
But the heavy lifting like rendering 8K video or running a big AI model that gets offloaded instantly to what they're calling Microsoft Cloud Agents.
So my laptop is just a remote control for a supercomputer.
In a way, yeah. A thin client on steroids. There's a neural scheduler that figures out what you're doing. If you're just browsing, the local chip does it.
Yeah.
The moment you start editing a huge file, the OS silently connects to a server farm to do the real work.
My first thought is, what happens if my internet goes down? Is my laptop a brick?
That is the billion-dollar question. The report mentions some local caching, but the whole promise of infinite power definitely depends on a connection. The trade-off is you can have a full-power Windows PC that's as thin as a tablet with all-day battery life.
Which connects directly to the Steam Deck 3 news.
It all ties together.
Yeah.
Valve saw the writing on the wall. They've ditched the old chips and gone with a custom ARM chip for the Deck 3.
And look at that battery stat. 15 hours.
15 hours.
Is that playing a simple indie game?
The report cites AAA games, like Elden Ring. That completely changes how you use the device. A 15-hour flight is now a gaming session. No more hunting for an outlet at the gate.
But how do they get all the old PC games to run on a totally different kind of chip?
Proton Max. It's their next-gen translation layer. It translates the instructions from the old diesel engine games into something the new electric motor chip can understand in real time. It sounds like it even uses that Windows cloud architecture to help.
The theme for all this tech really is removing friction.
It is. Nintendo removes the friction of where you can play. Sony removes the friction of visual compromise. Windows removes the friction of local hardware limits.
And that brings us to the ultimate friction removal, the one that removes your body from the equation.
Neuralink.
Reading this section gave me goosebumps, both the good and the bad kind.
The scary cool factor is off the charts.
So the public demo, a volunteer playing Counter-Strike 3, what happened?
The volunteer is just sitting there, hands in their lap, no mouse, no keyboard, and on screen, their character is moving, aiming, and firing with what looked like perfect precision.
Digital telepathy?
That's the term, yeah. But the stats are what really matter. The report breaks down input lag. For a normal person, from seeing a target to clicking the mouse takes about 200 milliseconds.
And with Neuralink?
Around 20 milliseconds.
That's 10 times faster. In a competitive game, that's not even a fair fight.
It's the difference between winning and losing every single time. The signal goes straight from your brain's motor cortex to the game engine. It just bypasses your nervous system, your muscles, your finger, all of it.
It completely breaks competitive gaming. If I have a mouse and you have a brain chip, I lose, period.
And esports leagues are in a panic. Do you ban it? Do you create a separate augmented league? We're seeing the birth of what the report calls the mental athlete.
It's wild. It also says the chip helps manage mental fatigue.
Yeah, monitors your neurochemicals and can help regulate focus. So you're not just faster, you can get tired or tilted either.
We've created the perfect gamer.
You have to wonder, at that point, are you playing the game or is the game playing you?
That's a whole other deep dive. Okay, so we've got all this incredible futuristic tech. It sounds like a utopia. And then you turn the page of the report and it's just red.
A sea of red.
The bloodbath, as they call it.
A $500 billion wipeout in the crypto markets. Bitcoin smashed down through the $70,000 mark. What happened? If the tech world is booming, why is the money crashing? It's a classic story of leverage. The crash wasn't started by some big piece of bad news. It was the structure of the market itself. The report calls it a liquidity spiral.
Okay, break that down for me. A liquidity spiral.
So you have tons of traders betting that Bitcoin will go up. They're using borrowed money to make bigger bets, leveraged longs. The report says there was $2 billion of these bets on just a couple of exchanges.
Betting with money they don't have.
Exactly. So the price dips, maybe just a little. But because it's borrowed money, the exchange's computer says, if the price drops to X, I have to sell your Bitcoin automatically to get my loan back.
And that automatic sale pushes the price down even more.
Precisely. Which then triggers the next trader's automatic sale, and the next, and the next. It's a cascade, a self-fulfilling prophecy of forced selling.
That's the contagion they talk about.
Yes. The fear and greed index dropped to 20. Extreme fear. Everyone runs for the exits at the same time.
They're fleeing to USDT, to Tether.
Right. Parking their money in stablecoins, waiting for the blood to dry. But there's a real-world factor, too. Energy tariffs.
Ah, for the miners.
Yeah. The 2026 tariffs are making it more expensive to mine Bitcoin. If the price of Bitcoin drops below the cost of electricity to mine it, the miners have to start selling their reserves just to pay their bills.
So you have forced selling from over-leveraged traders and forced selling from miners who need to keep the lights on.
It's a perfect storm. The report warns that if $68,000 doesn't hold, the next stop is $65,000 pretty quickly.
It's described as a cleaning out.
Which is a very polite way of saying a lot of amateur traders who didn't understand leverage just lost everything.
It is just such a wild contradiction to end on. We started with infinite computing power in the cloud and telepathic gaming. We've mastered the physics. We've mastered the silicon.
But we haven't mastered human psychology.
That's it, isn't it? The tech gets better, more efficient, more predictable. But the markets.
The markets are just people. They're fear and greed amplified by algorithms. And no amount of processing power changes the fact that when people see a red line going down, they panic.
The hardware gets smarter. The herd stays the same.
Exactly.
Before we go, I want to circle back to something. We talked about Neuralink getting rid of that physical input lag for gamers and Windows moving all the heavy work to the cloud.
Right.
If you connect those two dots, if I have a brain interface and my OS is in the cloud, where do I end and the computer begin?
That's the final thought I wanted to leave you with.
Yeah.
If you eliminate the lag of typing, of clicking, if the bottleneck is no longer your fingers but the actual speed of thought,
yeah,
what does that do to work? To creativity.
You mean instead of writing an email, I just think it.
Imagine composing music or writing code at the speed of thought, directly into a cloud system that compiles it instantly. We're worried about a crypto crash today, but the real disruption, the one that changes what it means to be human, is that moment we plug our minds directly into that infinite cloud.
That is profound and a little terrifying. I think I'm going to need a minute to process that.
Just don't check your portfolio while you're thinking about it.
Deal. All right, that is the state of the world in early 2026. High-speed brains, hyper-efficient handhelds, and crashing markets. A huge thank you to the Tech and Morning Report for the insights. And to you listening, stay curious. We'll catch you in the next deep dive.
Goodbye, everyone.